Behold thy son. Then said he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for all of the remarkable stories and events that are contained in the Word of God. Let us know that man is trying to find out where he came from, and the universe in which he finds himself, where it came from. We are thankful that as little children, we have accepted that you have told us in the Scriptures where we came from, where this universe came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and thou hast told us that God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. This universe, our God, comes from thee, and we come from thee. We acknowledge this, our God, and we are thankful that whatever the world may try to teach us, let us know that it is ingrained in us, not because of ignorance, not because of rejection of the truth, but because, Father, the minds that you have given us refuse us to believe that out of nothing can come something, and out of death can come life, and out of life can come a progression unto where we are today. Now, Father, you are he who made us. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we acknowledge that. And we've read about the origin of things this morning, our God, and we desire to learn a little bit about them. There are laws that you placed in nature, and there are also laws that you have placed before man, and some of them are instinctive, and some of them must be learned. And so we pray from what we've read this morning, we shall learn about mothers and sons. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive the cleanse, and help us this morning and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Think of this, that Adam looked over the situation, and Cain was born, and then Abel, and then all sorts of daughters were born, and then Seth was born, and Abel looked upon his wife, and he said, I'm going to call you Eve, because you're the mother of all living. So Adam named his wife. Adam named all the animals that were in the world at that time. He had a perception to see the meaning of things, to see the relation of one thing to another. What is so interesting is this, that had God desired, just as he brought man into existence, not out of a womb, but out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then brought Eve into existence out of the rib of Adam, he could have seen to it that instead of leaving the filling of the earth, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, the replenishing of the earth, he could have done it with his own hand, the way he did from the beginning. But having created the first two, he said, now I'm leaving it to you to replenish the earth. And just as Adam looked at his wife and said, you're Eve, the mother of all living, so Eve, and think of this, all of you who are mothers, to think, there is no other human being in the world. But then Adam knows Eve, his wife, and when the time comes round, a child is born from her own womb, and she takes that child in her arms and looks upon him, and she calls him Cain. Think of that. You know now, all of you women, about the birth of children. But think, the first child that was ever born. think of the marvel that this woman would experience in her soul, realizing that God had made such a thing possible for me to bring forth with my husband a child. And that is what the name Cain means. Kama, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Perhaps she was thinking of what was told her in Genesis chapter 3, speaking about enmity between her and the serpent. The words were spoken, "He and your seed shall be at enmity one with another, and the serpent shall bruise your seed, your seed's heel, and he shall crush the serpent's head." And now, here is someone in the world who is born, and she said he's going to crush the serpent's head. That is what she thought. And so she called his name Cain. Kama, I've gotten a man of the Lord, because it was evident that her husband Adam could not overcome Satan. He had already been overcome by Satan, as she was overcome by Satan. But perhaps a new one coming into the world, perhaps this man shall be able to overcome Satan, to crush the serpent's head. But as soon as she saw his light, all her hopes vanished, and the next child she bore was Abel, and the word Abel means emptiness, vanity, nothingness. How disappointing. And so that's what life had been, filled with hope when she had the first child, and then she looks at his life, and here comes the second child, and she understands about vanity, and his name is like that you read so many times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, that's a preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so that is the name of her second child. And so Adam and Eve learn about life, that they're going to replenish the earth, but instead of getting a man with the Lord that is clean and pure and in the image of God before sin entered, it says that Adam begot a son in his own likeness. And if Adam failed, so his son failed. And what is so frightening is this. God said, from the book of Exodus, all the firstborn of the womb are mine. Whether it be a human being, or whether it be cattle or sheep, the firstborn is mine. And this is horrible. That here is the firstborn in the world. And that firstborn was not God, but Satan. How do I know that? Because John tells us in his first epistle, "My little children, let us love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one." And so the firstborn that ever came into the world, and think of this, it did not go to God's side, but it went to Satan's side. And thank God for this, the one who came second into the world, Abel, righteous Abel, he was God. But what happened is that Satan filled the heart of Cain with murder, and Cain killed his brother Abel. And so here is that enmity, and instead of the firstborn going to God, it was the secondborn. And after that, this is what is so much interest, is that whenever you have two, like this, you have Isaac getting two children, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn and should have had everything, but it went to Jacob. In like manner, Joseph had Manasseh and Ephraim, but what happened, instead of Manasseh, it was Ephraim. But just think on those things. But God still said, the firstborn is mine. So the world at last has inhabitants. And you have the first mother and the first sons. The first mother who had great hopes for her son. But then there was bitter disappointment. And that is what has happened from the beginning of time. The hope of mothers for their sons and the disappointment of mothers by their sons. And having introduced the subject of mothers and sons, I go to the New Testament now and tell you about some mothers and sons. Here's what I find. There were good mothers in the New Testament, and there were bad mothers. And there were mothers in the New Testament who wanted to do things for their sons, and then there were some in the New Testament, some sons who wanted to do good things for their mothers. So this is life. Mothers, and some of them, abandon their children. Isn't that a sad thing? They're born, and they put them up for adoption, they cast them out, they try to destroy them. How sad. But these disappointments in the heart of Eve and her son Cain, so there have been disappointments from the beginning of time, the New Testament time, to this present time. And so because of that, I simply gave you three examples of mothers and sons. And in these three examples, something that stands out is that some sons want to do things for their mothers, and some mothers want to do things for their sons. I wanted to read you this verse, but instead of reading it, I will tell it to you. When the enemies of Christ came to him, trying to catch him in his talk, they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Absolutely not. One wife for one husband. And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Because when man tries to put it asunder, he cannot put asunder what God has joined together. And he says this, "In the beginning, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh." So think of this. The nearness of a son to his family, and the only thing that gives him a reason for taking his affection away from his father and mother, and placing upon his wife, of the words spoken in Genesis and then repeated by our Savior. And this is what I tell mothers when they ask me to perform the marriage of their children. I say, "Do you understand now that your son is to leave you, his mother, and cleave unto his wife? He is no longer a mother's boy. He belongs to his wife, and his wife belongs to him." And some mothers do not want to let go of their sons. They want to control their lives. They want all the love of their children. And some of them are quite happy if their sons leave their wives and return home to mother. And so there are some mothers that are evil and some that are good. And there are some mothers like the intelligent birds that God has created. These birds are in the nest, and the parents have brought them forth by sitting on the eggs. But after those birds get big, the parents say, "You are out." And they know when they can fly on their own, and they push them out of the nest. And then for a while, I've seen the little birds around, and the parents come and put a worm in its mouth. But after a while, that bird is on its own, and they're left that way by the parents. But some mothers are not that way. Some mothers want good things for their children, but in wanting those good things, they destroy their children. Now, it is not a spiritual good thing that Salome wanted for her children. It could have been the very best thing. but it turned out to be something that was wrong because it was desired for a reason of pride and of selfishness. But it's a good thing. Let me ask you this. Suppose I told you that a mother had two sons, and she put them through college and gave them an education in business, and she says, more than anything in the world, I want one of my sons to be president of the company, and I want my other son to be senior vice president of the company. Isn't that a good ambition for a mother and her children? I'm afraid, alas, at times, it's to the destruction of the children. But, think of this. If for a good motive, a mother says, there's nothing I want more in life than for my son to be at the right hand of the Son of God and my other son to be at his left hand. There's no nobler ambition than that. Remember, but what the mother wanted was this. Not because of the worth of her children. You see, so many mothers look upon their children that are filled with flaws. But in their eyes, they are perfect. Their children can do nothing wrong. And so here is Salome. And she comes to the Savior. And I believe it was in collusion with those boys. And so they come through their mother. And the mother says, I want you to do something for me. So often people want the Savior to do something before the question is asked, and I may tell you something tonight, I may not, but this is what happened when the mother of Solomon came to him wanting something. She said, son, I want you to do me a favor. And he said to his mother, I'll do anything for you that you want. And then his mother told him what she wanted. And then he recoiled, and he understood all that was involved. But here, the mother comes and she says, I want you to do something for me. And the Savior says, what is it? And she says, I want my son in the kingdom. I want one of them to sit on your right hand and one of them to sit on your left hand. Now, there could not be a nobler thought in the world if it was with this motivation. I want you, Lord, to make my son so loyal and faithful and godlike and devoted to you in service that he shall be worthy of sitting at your right hand and my other son worthy to sit at your left hand. But that wasn't what she had in mind at all. I want them whatever they are. I want you because they are mine to sit on your right hand and on your left hand. And the Lord Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. He said, it's not mine to arbitrarily place somebody that I like at my right hand and somebody I like at my left hand. It is something that has to be earned. And here is what God tells us at the Great White Throne. It says that the books are opened and men are judged according to all that is written in the book. And nobody is going to be at Christ's right hand that is not deserved to be right there. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says that once we become children of God, we are working for God, and rewards are going to be given. It says, if we build upon the foundation gold and silver and precious stones, we shall receive a reward. Now, if this mother had said, let my sons build gold and silver and precious stones, let them be soul winners, let them be devoted to thee, and let them be worthy, and then look upon them and give them that position. That wasn't what she had in mind at all. With all their faults, whatever they are, to the exclusion of Peter and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew, to the exclusion of all of the others, I want my son, one on your right hand and one on your left. And then, look. You see where my sons are? Look at Jesus. You see on his right hand? That's my son. You see that? That's my son. How sad that mothers have such ambitions because these are their children. And so mothers can destroy their children. Suppose there was this mother that had such influence with the Lord Jesus that she could go and speak to him, and because Jesus somehow respected the mother, was obligated to the mother, he would have to say, all right, I will put your son here and your other son there. Yes, I will do it. How disappointing. What respect would you have for the Lord Jesus? You say, I would have none. He would be nothing more than a politician that could give the highest promotions in life. But thank God the Lord Jesus said, it's not mine to give. Understand that Christ, and we were discussing this Saturday, Christ is the God-man. And there are some things he's turned over to the Father. And the Father is going to look and see the conduct of all of those that are followers of his Son. And he's going to say to his Son, this man deserves to be on your right hand, and this man deserves to be on your left hand. He says, it's not mine to give, it's my Father. And so if you want to be on the right hand or the left hand of the Son of God, go out and do something about it for this reason. Gold, silver, precious stone, if that is how your works are looked upon, you'll be there. But Paul says some people also build wood, hay, and stubble. And in the coming days, God is going to take some fire and touch it to all that we've done. And if it's wood, hay, and stubble, what will happen to all of our works during our life? They go up in smoke, and nothing is left but ashes. And you're not going to be on the right hand and left hand of God. The Bible says you'll be saved so as by fire. You only got into heaven because salvation is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, you're in heaven free. But the position that you occupy in that coming kingdom, and notice, there are some of the highest positions. There is the position of the right hand and left hand of Jesus Christ. There are some that are ruling over 10 cities. Yes, their position. And there are some that simply got in by fire. They are there. Thank God. Faith can save your soul. Genuine faith. But you have to earn everything that is given you when you stand before not the great white throne, but the judgment seat of Christ. And so here's a mother who wanted the best for her son. She wanted spiritual things. She wanted something for the world to come. And all of that is fine. But the motive was all wrong. And the Savior said, you can't have it. So you mothers, while you're thinking of good things, at least think of spiritual things. Think most of all, and this brings me to Lois and Eunice and their son. The son of Eunice and the grandson of Lois. What did they want for their son, Timothy? They wanted salvation, and they wanted a strengthening, and they wanted him to be builded up in the things of God. And it started when he was an infant. The word is not from a child alone, but it is an infant. Since an infant, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And I've seen some parents that have little children, and when they can hardly say a word, they can say, Jesus loves me. God loves the world. They taught those children from their infancy the things of the Word of God. And this is what's said. Paul is looking over Timothy, his convert. And then he thinks of his mother, Eunice. And he thinks of his grandmother, Lois. And he said, I've looked at them, and there is unfeigned faith. There is genuine faith in Christ, in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I believe that you're saved too. I wonder if the Apostle Paul could look into your heart and say, I believe that there is genuine faith in your heart, or would he look upon you as he looked upon Demas and wondered about him? And finally he had to say, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. If even a man could look at you, I wonder if he would have any assurance that there is genuine faith in your heart, because I've seen it, and I've wondered so many times. They go on well for a season, But then there is inconsistency. There are contradictions. There are things. And if I ask Paul, do you think that this man, this woman, that they're truly saved? The Apostle Paul would not be able to say, I believe that there is unfeigned faith in them as was in their parents. So here is a mother. Is there unfeigned faith in your mother? Yes. Is there unfeigned faith in your son? Yes. And the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded. It's in your family for three generations. Your grandmother had faith. Your mother had faith. And you have faith. And now I want you to go and preach the things which you've heard from me among many brethren, the same commitment of faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is what Paul was looking forward to. He wanted that faith to be in the family, and then for that faith also to be preached and spread outside the family. And so what did Eunice, this mother, want for her son? She wanted her son to be built up in the most holy faith, and from a child, the word of God to fill his heart. And that's what thrills me. I go down to temple, and each Lord's Day, they'll say, now, the girls come up and quote their memory verses, and you'll see little things that high, and they have a little microphone, and they'll say a little verse. Jesus wept. God so loved the world. A few things, and then they'll step down. Those children from their infancy are learning the word of God. But now notice, it says that Timothy from a child has known the Holy Scriptures, but the Holy Scriptures can save nobody. It says you've known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. The only thing fathers and mothers can do is to get the Word of God in the hearts of the children. And if they know the Word of God alone is able to make them wise unto salvation. And then the Spirit of God convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then they place their faith in the Savior that is told them in the Scriptures. And then Paul can say, you have unfeigned faith as well. So this is the beauty of fathers and mothers and children. And today we're speaking of those mothers, and we see the prominent place that some mothers have for this reason. While desiring the best for her son, Timothy, Eunice married a Greek, and their son was never circumcised, and you never read about any good spiritual thing, or even the name of Timothy's father, who was a Greek. And so some mothers who want the best for their children, at times, they have missed out in their own marriages. Their lives have been handicapped by being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, because God would tell us if this were a Christian family. So this is a little bit about mothers and sons, and with the will of God, I'll tell you more tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know the great responsibilities of life. Let us know that there are those who are over us in the world. And let us know that we have husbands and wives that will obey their husbands. But also, mothers have children. And those mothers, they can be as Eunice and fill the hearts of their children with the Word of God. But ultimately, they must trust Thee to cause that faith to arise. Sorry, God, bless the mothers who are here. And bless the children that they brought into the world. Some, Father, are happy and have joy, and some are sorrowful and have disappointment. But our God, we can see again that some who have failed at first can have success in the future. And so, our God, make this indeed a happy Mother's Day, and let the mother rejoice in an able who offers to God spiritual sacrifices, and not a Cain, who is of the evil one. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.